Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and ride with me is my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. You can learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate, how to become involved in your community through PACS, and hover your mouse over the More tab. That way you can get to the Learning Center, where there are a plethora of resources that you, your family, and your community can use, especially the survival piece. Hint, hint, survival piece. America's crazy. So get all that and more. Just visit www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you can see a picture of me with my shirt off. You can learn more about Pat, Enigma September, and the plethora of shows that we have on our network, because we get it in all week long. You drop shows right on your forehead. And did I mention, there's a picture of me with my shirt off. So go to www.freedomtrainradio.com and watch Pat's in the Hate in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go ahead, Pat. Hate.
Hate, 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 hate.
You know what I'm talking about? Man, what'd it be like, man?
It'd be like two old, nasty white people kissing.
With tongue or without tongue?
Both.
I mean, you know, somebody got to do it, right? Somebody got to kiss. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Don't put that tongue on in there.
I mean, I ain't say it was good or bad. I just said what it was.
Hey, it is what it is. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, man. Last week, we had the geriatric tooth fairy on, right?
Right.
And she said something, and the way she said it helped me remember. She said, floss your teeth. She said, floss the teeth that you want to keep. So I thought about that Martin episode when they did the pass the peas, right? So it said, pass the peas like you used to do. Hey! Floss the teeth that you want to keep. Hey, man, you got to sing it. Floss the teeth that you want to keep. I'm just saying, Pat, we have to people make sure they keep their smiles together and keep the rotten going. You heard?
Word.
Go ahead and hate. I know you're going to hate. Go ahead.
Hey.
Oh, see. Yeah, go down there. But yeah, man, I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that, dog, because floss the teeth that you want to keep.
Floss the teeth that you want to keep. Floss the teeth that you want to keep. Floss the teeth that you want to keep. That you want to keep. That you want to keep.
There you go. So when you see your uncle with no teeth, walk up on him and say, you don't floss teeth. So. I be messed up, man. But I know y'all had some bad weather up there in the Carolinas, man. Everything good with y'all weather, man?
Nah, not really. And you know the power grid up here is BAP is all get out. So we didn't have bad weather. Power been going out. Supposed to have bad weather tomorrow. It's supposed to be thunderstorming Wednesday and Thursday. So power probably going to go out. But my wife bought me this nifty little solar power kit. You know, the one that the PAX group was talking about putting in their survival kit.
Do it go on the back of your phone, or it's a whole separate unit?
It's a whole separate unit. It looked like a phone. Got a flashlight on it, a compass on it. You can see the solar cells in the front. It's got a charger port. And then it's got two ports where you can hook stuff up to be charged. And you can get about two or three phone charges out of this thing before it dies. And of course, it's solar powered. So if you're not somewhere where you could plug it up, you just leave it out. It take a while to power up solarly, but you know, if you ain't got nothing else, that's an option. But it's a pretty nifty little device. So when the power go down, I'll make sure it's fully charged so that I can keep playing on my phone like the power ain't out.
I mean, tell your wife if she really want to make friends, she'll buy all of us one.
You know what? I'll tell her that. I sure good. Will.
Tell her we don't really like her unless she buy that. Hey, man. Hey, quickly, though. Could you give the people a brief summary of what's going on in the Sudan and plug your show about the Sudan?
Oh, yeah. So I did a show on the Sudan on Lessons from the Screen, and this was back in April, actually. I didn't realize it was so long ago. But, you know, like to stay ahead of the curve. But back in April, I did a show on the Sudan. And basically what's happening in the Sudan is a continuation of what's been happening since the Sudan was created. You know, at the start, Sudan was a cooperatively owned by the Egyptians and the British. The British really owned it. Things were set up in a way to where when the Sudan became its own independent nation, one group had been groomed to be in power, and another group was kind of left to have the power when the British left. And so that created friction, that created tension. And basically what you're seeing now is that tension continue to be played out throughout the history of the country. So this is just the next step. The military has taken control of the country on numerous occasions. The country has almost always had, since its earliest stages, a military tribunal in leadership. A matter of fact, al-Bashir, the president that was deposed earlier this year, he was a part of the first, well, not the first, but another military coup where the military took over the government. So anyways, he was deposed earlier this year. The military is still in control of the country because he was deposed by the military. And the protesters are basically saying, we want a civilian-led government. We want a government that we control, not a government that's controlled by the military. And the military is basically like, fuck that and fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm. So,
if you want to know more, go on over to Lessons from the Screen. You'll see the show. It's in current events. The show is called Sudan because that's what it's about. And I talk about what happened in the Sudan at the inception of the country, the creation of South Sudan. We cover the Darfur incident. We go all the way up until the middle of April, which is when I recorded the show. So anything that's happened since then, you won't find out about in the show. But you'll have enough information to know exactly what's going on. And it's only like 25 minutes or so. So it's not even a long show.
So go listen. What's the name of your show again?
Lessons from the Screen.
There it is. Lessons from the Screen, you heard me?
What we mean is we go through documents and documentaries to show you what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's Pat rapping in the intro. He think he DJ Khaled.
I don't think I'm DJ Khaled.
You the best.
I don't know about that. Nah, man, but hey, I tell y'all one thing, man. If you can't find people to do stuff for you, do it for yourself, man.
Do it yourself, you heard me?
That's why you got Pat rapping in the intro.
You heard me? So today's episode of the Freedom Train podcast series, we got three topics that we're banging y'all in the head with. And they might not go in the order that I'm about to name them now. So we're going to talk about the charges being dropped in the Flint water case. So all the people who were charged criminally in the Flint water case, the prosecutors dropped the charges, and this new group of prosecutors who came in and dropped the charges against all the people who were charged. So we're going to give y'all some information about that. I have an article from the New York Times pulled up. It's my kind of like point of reference to help, you know, string you along so you'll know what's going on with this. A couple years ago, we did a show about black women missing in the United States. And at that point, the missing total, you know, was like 64,000. Since then, it has risen, and it has risen greatly. But in doing my research, I found that there's an even broader issue of black people missing. That's why the Black and Missing organization is critical. So I'm put this in the atmosphere. We're going to have Black and Missing Foundation on this show. Put it in the atmosphere now. Black and Missing Foundation will be on this podcast so we can get more information. But with these statistics, we do want to highlight the black women that are missing, but we do also want to give the picture that black people are missing, and even broader than that, people are missing. Where, you know, we focus on us, but black people are missing. And there's a high number of black people who are missing in the United States, so we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to delve a little deeper into the Mueller report. Me and Pat were talking the other day, and he was like, man, there's some shit in the Mueller report that people just ain't really talking about, overlooking. So I said, well, shit, dog, let's run it then. He said, bet that. And there it is. If you're not from Florida, that meant, hey, I have some more things I want to talk about for the Mueller report. Oh, is that right, Pat? Yes, that's right, Joseph. Well, okay, let's do it. So I know some of y'all are like, bet that, what that mean? No, that's just five for mine. I say, back that up. So, that don't mean to dance, that means thank you. Hey, speaking of that real quick, talk about cultural competence, right? So I was working at Goodwill. This just made me think about this story. I was working at Goodwill, and I was selling this dude from Miami, this sectional. It was like a 4 or 5-piece sectional. You know, from the Goodwill, it was like $48. So Buddy came in like, hey, Buddy, how much this section? I'm like, $48. He's talking about, for all this? I'm like, yeah, $48. He's like, for all these pieces, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like, yeah, all these pieces, $48. He's like, for real, bro? I'm like, yeah. He leaned back, looked me in my eyes, and was like, real nigga shit, and just turned around and walked off. And I was standing there like, what the fuck just happened? Like, is he satisfied? Did I mess up? Is life over? I don't know. That messed me up, man. That messed me up. So, no, that just reminded me of that situation that happened with that dude. Like, his whole reply was just real nigga shit, and just walked off, so. I don't know that I learned something new. I think I did that. I'm not really sure still to this day. You know, that's what happened. But hey, man. All right. So, Flint water crisis, right? In 2014, the pipes were moved from Lake Huron. That they were getting their water, that was the main water source.
Yeah.
To the Flint River. Yeah, it is. I just want to read this. So the Flint water crisis that was started in 2014 was a failure of government at all levels. The state-appointed emergency manager switched the city's drinking water source from Detroit's municipal water system to the Flint River system in an effort to save money. Local officials failed to implement corrosion controls, allowing lead to leach from pipes. Health agencies assured residents the water was safe, even as people complained that it smelled bad, it tasted funny, and was discolored. So that happened, you know, starting 2014. At least 12 people have died. It's been documented. A lot of people have contracted Legionnaires' disease. And that's at the time the officials that were in charge got charged and with these crimes. The crimes are basically, I would say, environmental terrorism. Even one person was charged with manslaughter. I think it was voluntary manslaughter. And they have a new regime in. So let's say after Mr. Shutt, so Bill Shutt was in office. So, and let me do say this point. Democratic officials are the ones who dropped the charges. Republican officials, well, under the Republican regime, charges were filed. Under the Democratic regime, so far, charges were dropped. And one thing that they're saying is they're dropping the charges, and they're going to bring them up later. Now, a couple people caught plea deals, and they're saying the dropping of the charges didn't necessarily affect the plea deals and things that people said, but we're not typically lying. But it says, as officials scrambled to fix the water system and rebuild trust, Michigan's Republican Attorney General Bill Shute appointed a team that began investigating and announcing criminal charges. Still from the start, some officials and legal observers raised questions about the prosecutor's approach, as residents asked why the governor at the time, Rick Snyder, also a Republican, had not been charged. After Mr. Shute left office in January and was placed by Dana Nessel, a Democrat, there were signs of a change in course. Todd Flood, the lead prosecutor appointed by Mr. Shute, was dismissed. New prosecutors assigned by Ms. Nessel expressed concern about evidence collection and took steps to seize Mr. Snyder's phone. Then, most drastically, Ms. Nessel's team dropped all charges on Thursday, which was last Thursday, and pleaded to investigate more, saying all evidence was not pursued by their prosecutors. Upon assuming responsibility of this case, our team of career prosecutors and investigators had immediate and grave concerns about the investigative approach and legal theories, said the two lead prosecutors, Fatwa Hamoud and Kim Worthy, in a statement. They said they would meet with Flint residents later this month and noted they were not precluded from refiling charges against the defendants or adding new charges and defend. Flint's Mayor Karen Weaver said she took the prosecutors at their word and hoped they would follow through with new charges. See, now, even at that point, that Kim Weaver just massaging the people. But let me just read some more before we give our comments there. She said there was some confusion and frustration in her city about the decision to drop the charges, but she believed it would ultimately be positive. It's frustrating, but I'd rather be frustrated at this end and know that they're going into a deep dive into what happened, Ms. Weaver said in an interview. She added, I think this way they may have the evidence they need to be able to hold them accountable and throw away the key. Efforts to seek with Mr. Flood, the former lead prosecutor, and Mr. Shute, former attorney general, on Thursday were not immediately successful. Mr. Shute defended his team's work on Twitter. We had an experienced, aggressive, and hard-driving team. He wrote, everything we did was for the people of Flint. Among the officials whose charges were dropped, the former director of Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, a state epidemiologist, a former Flint Public Works director, and emergency managers who had been appointed by Governor Snyder to oversee the city. The decision to drop charges did not affect seven officials who had already accepted deals with prosecutors and entered no contest pleas, but who had not been formally convicted by a judge, as I stated earlier. James White, a lawyer for Howard Croft, the former Flint Public Works director who was charged with involuntary manslaughter. Okay, so that's why it was involuntary manslaughter. And has denied wrongdoing, said the Attorney General's decision validated his concerns about the investigation. Mr. White said his client, who was first charged in 2006, was carefully, cautiously elated about the news. So, in a nutshell, this that bullshit and this political massaging of the people that they're doing with this mayor and these city managers and the people. It's that bullshit, Pat.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I just want to say environmental terrorism, that's what the United States do, right?
Yeah, I've been following this and a couple other cases concerning water in America. This actually wasn't a surprise that they were going to drop the charges. It had already kind of been laid out that there was a lot of issues with the way the investigation had been handled. And that, if given the chance, a new team would be put in place. The former charges, all of the charges would be dropped. The entire investigation would be scrapped, and they would just start over from scratch. And everything fell in place. And so that's what they're doing. They have a lot of material and stuff to go through, and we're looking at statute of limitations. They have to bring up new charges by this time next year, or it's going to be too long.
So do you know the exact statute of limitations for something like this?
I believe it's 6 or 7 years is what the statute of limitations is, or it might be seven. I believe it's 7 years, but I can't recall the exact number. I read it somewhere, but I can't recall the exact number right now because I'm thinking about like a bunch of other things. But I do know that it runs out in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. It could be 2021, but I'm pretty positive it's 2020 is when the statute of limitations is met and you can't bring charges for what happened in Flint. So it's not a surprise that it's happened, but I do wonder if they just painted themselves into a corner in terms of the time frame they have to investigate, because we know investigations like this, they take a while to comb through all of the data. You got to ask all of, you know, you got to do conduct new interviews. You got to look at new footage. You got to read new paper, the papers. And then there's a lot more information available now than there were when the previous investigation started. And even in that, you got to investigate what happened in the previous investigation as well. So it's a lot of work to try to cram into a year before you can file new charges.
But it's like, for one, let's also remember that Flint is a microcosm of the bigger issue in America with contaminated water, lead contamination, other contaminations in cities,
right,
with heavy black and poor populations, especially
right,
black and poor populated areas. So that means it does affect other groups of people. So it doesn't just affect black people, but usually you find black people in poor areas.
Right.
So we have to care about everybody in the poor areas, because you find a whole bunch of us in the poor areas. But, you know, being black-centered, we do want to make sure that we understand how this affects us in the long run, because it's still going to affect, history tells us it's going to affect us more than it affects everybody else. So that's first.
Right.
Second is, I'm not understanding. Well, I do. All right, let me say I don't understand. I do understand what's going on, but it's crazy how they finessing the system, because the water in Flint is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
There's proof that the city officials, there's 17 people in charge, and those people are responsible. Fifteen people, state and local officials are responsible for the moving of the pipes and not ensuring the safety of the water, and then allowing it to happen and lying about it. So we know that happened. That's documented that happened, but it's still a process of where this has to be proven, and that's one of the things that make me mad about the justice system and things. Even though I know it's a process with everything, but even for the charges to be dropped, this is more blatant. This is way more blatant than O.J. Simpson. So why are the charges dropped? Other than racism and all those other isms, other than that, though, on a human level, why are the charges dropped? It's some straight bullshit. Because to me, this is clear cut. Somebody fucked up. It ain't like, because the people didn't change the pipes themselves.
Well, in that I agree with you. It seems clear cut that somebody fucked up. I think
right,
what they're trying to figure out is exactly who to blame. And they had, in this situation, even though I agree with you, I feel what you're saying, I understand why they had to drop the charges in order to reopen the investigation, in order to bring potentially more charges. Because you don't want somebody to get a charge, go through court, blah, 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 and then you look even further when you realize, oh, wait, we should have charged this motherfucker with this, this, and this as well. But now you can't, because they've already been tried for that crime. So
yeah.
I get that, but the situation is being finessed. It has been being finessed. There is a lot of frustration with the system, the way the thing's set up. Even in terms of the fact that, you know, I was listening to, because They had one of the activists from Flint on NPR today talking about it. And she was saying that apparently they are, maybe it was a he, I might be getting my people confused. But anyways, the information is all the same. Apparently, the person that made the decision to switch the water made that decision, and it's hard to hold somebody culpable for a political decision they've made unless you can prove that the decision was made with nefarious intent. So that's one issue. The next issue is the moment the city found out the water was fucked up, the city made the necessary, they followed the letter of the law in reporting it to who they needed to report it to. They just didn't fucking tell the people. So that brings up another issue of, okay, so they reported it to who they needed to report it to, but they didn't tell the people who were actually consuming the water. And then the second issue with that is, okay, why didn't the people that they were reporting it to, why didn't they do something? And so you just run into like this whole tree of like multiple levels where people just fucked up. They follow the quote-unquote letter of the law, but they fucked up in terms of taking care of the people. So that's when you get into the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law or the intent of the law or the blah. It's when you get into all of these other terms. And that's where you begin to see, like you said, the finessing of the system work against poor and disadvantaged people, which, like you said, are largely black people. That's the issue we have, is they know how to play these games where you start getting into, well, I followed the letter of the law, but you didn't follow the spirit of the law. You didn't follow this of the law, the color of the law, that of the law. Yeah, but I followed the letter of the law. Well, not following the spirit of the law means this, and blah, 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 blah. So you get into all of these gray areas. So I'm with you. I mean, the situation's fucked up. It's a frustrating situation. But even in that, like you said, it affects everybody because of the way the judicial system works. How this thing is ruled is going to set precedence for everything else that comes afterwards.
It will. Let me tell you some more finessing. So this, there's a criminal law professor at Wake Forest University named Robert F. Wright. And he's saying it's not uncommon for new elected prosecutors to drop cases by their predecessors. Finessing, by the way, which is another finesse move, by the way. Not saying Robert Wright is finessing, but that tactic, even there, of bringing in a new prosecutor to get rid of old prosecutors. Because usually, like you're saying, usually the charges are dropped when new prosecutors come in specific cases. It says, but it's far more unusual that they might be filed, it's unusual that new charges may be filed in the case. So that goes back to what you were saying about the, hitting the statute of limitations and having everything expire. And, you know, just to make it clear on my end, I'm perfectly clear and cognizant about how the law works versus how it should work for those who may be, listen to what we said may be unclear. We understand how it works, like Pat said. If they reported up the chain like they were supposed to, that covers them on one end to a certain degree. But the question is that one end to a certain degree, does that hold more weight than, like you said, the spirit of the law? And then a lot of times it does, especially in cases like these, because you have the powerful versus the powerless.
Right.
So those things do hold more weight. So you're going to have the people of Flint with basically going a lot longer without getting their water supplies fixed. And you know, there's maybe two things that make me think about. One, I was watching this, what is that, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven documentary?
Fahrenheit 11-9?
Yeah, 11-9, where he had a couple clips of Obama taking fake sips of the Flint water.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it also makes me think about the what we've been talking about in our group chat about Jaden Smith and his efforts to get water to the residents of Flint. Because in my mind, with the black with the wealth that black people have, black people, it's enough wealth in black America to fix this issue. Now, I don't think it's enough wealth in black America to fix this issue with all the cities that have the problem, because it's not. But for Flint, because what they said, 30 million or something to fix the pipes?
Yeah, something wrong. Like 25, 30 million, something like
right.
that.
Right. So, I mean, if you get 25 to 30 million, I mean, 25 to 30 millionaires together, all of them get 1 million. You got, hell, the Smith family themselves can get 5 million. Diddy and Jay-Z now. I mean, there's a lot. And I'm not saying it's on them because it's on us, too. It should be on everybody. But black America, we have to really think about how we exist. Because, if, for one, we can't, in saying that, still realize we can't rely on celebrities to save us. But the second part is, when are we going to be able to rely on ourselves to save ourselves? And this is this Flint situation is you know very imperative because it shines a bright light on how helpless Black America is if something tragic happens to us, something catastrophic happens to us. We're basically helpless. There's a lot of us, most of us can't help ourselves. So how do we prevent something like this from happening in the future without taking the light away from what's happening now and still searching on the solution for now, but also thinking about how do we be better prepared as black people if something catastrophic does happen? If some more environmental terrorism does do happen, like what do we do?
I'm with you. I mean, we definitely have got to step up because there are over 4,000 communities out there with water issues, you know, double or higher of what Flint's issues are. And the people of Flint, you know, their water, the city is telling them that their water is okay, but
right.
obviously the city has been lying to them before. Why the fuck would they trust that? There are people out there, some days you turn on the faucet and everything looks okay. Other days you turn on the faucet and the water looks like it used to. So there are still issues out there. You know, people are still sending bottled water. I'm at the point now, I'm not saying sending a bottled water, you know, cases of bottled water aren't helpful. But I'm at the point now where I'm saying if we had taken all of that money we spent on bottled water and filtration systems and hired a bunch of engineers to go out there and fix the pipes, the problem might be solved. And not only do we need people to fix the pipes, but we also need independent testing of the water because those people are never going to trust the city again, and they shouldn't.
Right.
So we need a black organization to go out there and also test the water continuously, year-round, independent organization. They care about their community, and all they do is test water every day, a different home, a different neighborhood, a different rec center, whatever. And we just test water all day long.
I mean, 20, 30, 40 years from now, people are going to be trying to convince black people to trust the government. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to convince us now to trust the government, and we're still telling people we don't trust the government based off of what they did to us in the past. And but some of us are cognizant of what the government is still doing to us.
Right.
That's part five. So,
right.
So it's like, at what point do bougie Negroes stop trying to convince, like they're saying, this, and I'm not sure if this mayor, whoever this politician lady is, I'm not sure of her race, but she's trying to smooth the people over and lying to them, telling them that everything's going to be okay. Ms. Weaver saying that she thinks things will be better on the back end, but I'm not sure about the race of Ms. Weaver, but pastors and all these other politicians and things that black people continue to listen to for some reason, I don't know, but who are always trying to smooth things over with black people and get us to trust the government who keep fucking us over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I love the rebellious nature that we're starting to get. I love the rebellious nature of the new generation to a point, because a lot of that rebellious nature is ignorance and it's untempered rebellion. So that's like a rebel without a cause, which is a horrible thing. But we have to get to a point to where we tell these officials to shut the fuck up and sit down. And stop doing the same tap dance over and over and over again. Like, we don't, you're not a leader because you were voted into a position. That doesn't make you the leader of the community. That means you're voted, you're a person who's been voted into this position. Now, you could be the dude on the corner store and be the leader of the community. So we have to redefine leadership within our community. We have to also redefine how we define community. That was redundant and shit. We need to redefine community. And we need to really look at how we can more aggregate our money to help ourselves in times of crisis. Cause it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Can't be having stuff like this happening. Like, our people are dying. It's not the 60s. It's 2019, and yes, this is happening.
It's gonna keep happening, man. You know it. And the sad part about all of this is the environmental damage that we're surviving in is literally making us stupider. And I'm not even saying that as some moral or cultural or social. No, like, drinking lead lowers your IQ. You know, a lot of the things we're exposed to on a daily basis affects us genetically, affects our intelligence, affects the way our brains are wired and the capabilities we have intellectually. This stuff is having an effect on us.
I mean, we can see it, though, because, you know, we're always saying people are stupid. We're always wondering why the hell does somebody do that stuff? I mean, the environment is toxic. It's shit.
So, you know, in 30, 40 years, you know, heaven forbid 200-300 years, when black people really are stupider than white people, and everybody's wondering why. You know, you spent the last 2-3 centuries living in a toxic wasteland. You know, I don't know, man. We need to think about that. But
I mean, you know, I wouldn't say we're environmentalist. I wouldn't say we're feminist or none of these other labels that you can wear. We ride for our community, and we ride for our environment. We ride for what's right. We call us riders. We ride for what's right. We ride for what's smart, what makes sense. It makes sense to make sure your goddamn environment is safe. It makes sense to make sure your people are safe. It makes sense to make sure that you can prosper. It makes sense to not have predators roaming in your community. It makes sense that people can breathe fresh air. It makes sense that people can drink clean water and eat healthy, real fruits and vegetables. If you want to eat meat, eat some clean, be able to eat clean meat and all those different things. That shit just makes sense. That's our, matter of fact, that's our God-given right. And it's our duty to not let anybody take that right from us or dictate how we use that right. So, and that's all we want to say about that. We ain't going to beat that horse dead, but last couple, hey man, we've had 2 shows in the last 2-3, maybe 4 weeks talking about the environment. We got to wake the fuck up, people. Got to wake up. All right, man, so let's move on, man. Let's dig into this Mueller report, man. Let's talk about this Mueller report before we get into this black and missing. So, what did you come across in this Mueller report that made you was like, man, we need to talk about this? What did you come across, and what do you and why did you feel like we need to talk about the new information, or I wouldn't say new information, but some of the things that stood out to you in the Mueller report?
Well, you know, they talked about the Mueller report very briefly when it came out, very briefly actually. For as bombshell of a report as it was, 400 and almost 500 pages of investigative, 2 years worth of investigative information about the election and the Trump White House, And they really tried to just summarize it real briefly. And because it didn't have the things in it that they wanted to see, they kind of moved away from it. I think it was only in the news for like a week, if that. But I wanted to read through it because I was like 500 pages. There's got to be something in here that's more significant than what they're letting on. Like,
Right.
you don't write, you don't spend 500 pages saying Trump didn't conspire with the Russians and he didn't try to impede the investigation. Like, so for me, it just didn't make sense. And even though they were saying we have 11 different instances of him trying to impede the investigation in the report, the fact that everybody was covering the same few lines just made me want to go and look at it because, again, 500 pages, there's got to be something in here that's not being talked about. And there was still a lot of things I didn't exactly understand about how the Russians influenced the election. So
Right.
when I started reading it, and I'm not done yet, but that just goes to show how significant I think it is because I'm only halfway through Volume 1. And Volume 1 is all about the Russian interference with the U.S. election. Volume 2 is about Trump's attempts to interfere with the investigation, which is a crime. And so I'm halfway through with this thing, the Volume 1, and I'm like, yo, the news sold us short. They fucked up. Because on Volume 1, all they were saying was no conspiracy, no collusion. Which the report actually says we're not looking for collusion anyways, because in terms of the law, collusion is not defined. There is no such thing as collusion when you're talking about law. And we started hearing them say this as the investigation was wrapping up, coming to its conclusion. You started to hear a lot more lawyers go on TV and say collusion is not a crime. Collusion is not defined as, it's not mentioned anywhere in the United States codes. So the report goes in to say that, we're not looking for collusion. We're looking for conspiracy. Was there a known and agreed upon plan by Donald Trump and the Trump committee, the Trump election team, to work with Russia in order to get Donald Trump elected? And without getting too far into that, because what they found out was Trump was willing to work with the Russians, and the Russians really wanted Trump to be elected, but they couldn't find any evidence that directly tied Trump's activities to Russian activities in a way that was planned and coordinated. Now, they did find where the things were done, like when Trump said, Russia, I really like it if you could find those 30,000 emails. 5 hours after he made that speech, Russia attempted to hack DNC computers, and eventually Russia did successfully get into the computers, and they did find the emails, and they did release those emails. So all of the emails that we were talking about with Hillary Clinton, all of that stuff was part of Russia, the Russia attack on the election. I think we know that. And I think the news talked about the time frame as well, about how they did it, within hours of Trump saying, Russia, please, blah, 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 in the speech. So all of that was in place. But the report mentioned that lots of documentation was destroyed. Lots of communication was done through communication that was encrypted, that they couldn't decrypt. And a lot of what they were trying to get out of people, the witnesses were either uncooperative or they kept saying they didn't remember. So to me, it sounded like there was just a lot of people trying to protect Donald Trump. Because the information they had to try to connect him to, they required someone to be able to say, yes, he knew this because I told him or I was around when he was told. And everybody just kept saying, I don't have any recollection of stuff like that. So to me, that comes off more of Trump being protected. But the bigger issue I had with this Mueller report is the same thing we talked about in the last show. I just didn't know the extent to which it had happened. And that is, Russia utilizing social media to influence black people emotionally. And so in the report, it clearly spells this out. It lists the social media groups, the social justice groups, Black Lives Matter, Blacktivists, Don't Shoot Us, and Black Fist. Those are four black social media groups mentioned in terms of black social justice groups.
And these are the ones that are created by the Russians?
These were the ones that were created or influenced or funded by Russians.
Okay.
Black Matters, which I saw some of their posts in the build-up to the election. Blacktivists, which I saw some of their posts. Don't Shoot Us, which I think we had a offline discussion with other people about this particular group. And Black Fist, I remember that group as well.
Yeah, we did have a discussion about that Don't Shoot movement and stuff like that, like the Hands Up, Don't Shoot thingy.
Yeah, and see, I don't know if the Hands Up, Don't Shoot was a part of Don't Shoot Us, but I remember seeing posts from a group called Don't Shoot Us. So,
okay.
You go into this, they had over 3,500 advertisements on Facebook alone, spending $100,000 roughly on Facebook alone. And then you just look at, you know, the different memes and stuff they posted. Black Matters posted and I remembered this. This is why it triggered me so much. I remembered the Black Matters post calling for a flash mob. According to a report, Black Matters called for a flash mob of U.S. persons to take a photo with hashtag Hillary Clinton for prison 2016 or no Hillary 2016.
Right.
We know that a lot of the anti-Hillary Clinton rhetoric that was being promoted in the black community were conservative talking points. We knew that. What we did not know was that a lot of that was being driven by the Russians. And I'm not saying the Clinton Foundation doesn't have its issues, doesn't deserve this out of the third. My beef is that a foreign nation was able to capitalize off our situation and able to elicit an emotional response out of us. Because we also know that black people overwhelmingly voted not for Donald Trump. We know that black people voted for Hillary Clinton. Now, we do know that there were black people that voted for Donald Trump. And we also know that there were a lot of black people that just didn't vote at all because they couldn't bring themselves to vote for Hillary Clinton and they didn't like Donald Trump. But the extent to which I saw black people sharing posts from all of these people that now, according to this report, were Russian organizations. I mean, the Don't Shoot Us Facebook group, according to this report, had over 250,000 followers. And I can vouch for that because I remember going to their page at the time when they were over 200,000 followers. You know, so it's estimated that by the time these posts were deactivated, the post may have reached an estimated 126 million people.
Yeah, people crazy.
Right. So when you dig into this, and then that's just Facebook. They got a whole other section about Twitter and about how Twitter was used in a similar fashion. So when you really just dig into this, you're looking at, I mean, you know, we talked about, well, I don't know if we talked about, but the Black Fist Group, in February of 2017 created a movement where they wanted to teach African Americans to protect themselves when confronted by law enforcement, and they hired a self-defense instructor in New York to offer classes sponsored by
that.
Black Fist. Right,
we remember that. Yeah.
That was a Russian job.
And people signed up.
Right.
Well, I mean, for black people anyway, like, I would be weary of anything posing as black through a public medium that is trying to tell you to sign up for anything like defense and all these things. Yeah, and keep the stuff that you're doing public, because it's like, you know, who trained you in black liberation? Like, everything in black liberation tell you keep what you're doing to yourself.
Right.
But you know, so basically one of the biggest, so basically you're saying like one of the biggest things you're taking away, you can't take away from this Mueller report, especially at the fact that how many black people were gullible enough to be manipulated by these fake black pages that were supported, either created or supported by Russian interests or Russian people to go against like Hillary and other things like that.
Well, there's two components, and also nobody talked about the fact that the Russians were also working to support Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
So you look at the amount of support, the amount of love Bernie Sanders got from black people, especially the young black audience. And you wonder how much of that was genuine and how much of that was the Russian support in Bernie Sanders. And nobody talks about the Russian support in Bernie Sanders because obviously Bernie Sanders still lost to Hillary Clinton. But you also look at the fact that Donald Trump really wanted to run against Bernie Sanders. Like he really did. So, from a political standpoint, you look at how much influence the Russians were able to gain in the United States elections just by virtue of social media and capitalizing on the emotionality of the audience. I mean, you look at Bernie Sanders this year, doesn't have that same sparkle that he had last year
Now he
or the
don't
last time.
like Bernie does. Bernie does. Now I will say, even though you know we be on that fuck that Bernie shit, but I will say one of the things I think do contribute to that is the dominance of the Democratic Party. I have 75,000 candidates, and like and 70,000 of them that black people are interested in. But Bernie does not have that same steam that he had last time.
No. I mean, Joe Biden came out when he announced his thing, he kind of unseated everybody. And Joe
Some
Biden
people got
is,
wet.
Joe Biden is, yes, he's friends with Obama. He won't let us forget it. But he's also politics as usual. The
Joe
one
Biden
thing
knows
that
we
everybody
about
said
money.
they did not want.
Right. Joe Biden don't fuck with us. People need to understand that stuff. But,
So,
you know.
when I'm looking at this Russian report, I'm looking at two things. One, the ability of the Russians to manipulate us. And two, the gullibleness of us as a people. The fact that we are able to be manipulated as easily as we are. The fact that we get so much of our news and information from social media. That a foreign agency, a foreign power can capitalize off of that just by making a Facebook group and sharing shit on social media, factual or not. That's disturbing to me. The fact that we don't have the intelligence, the not even the intelligence, because I think we do have the intelligence, the willingness to check things that we come across on social media, the willingness to check groups that we find on social media. The fact that we could be manipulated to this extent just based off social media to me was very, very disturbing, even though I know it's true. The fact that a foreign government has now demonstrated it, because we always talk in hypotheticals and speculatives, you know, I bet this, I bet that. We talk about it all the time. I bet you this, I bet you that. But to actually now see that's actually what's happening with a group that doesn't even have our best interest in heart. The Russians don't give a goddamn about black people, neither. Let's
Well,
not play these games.
that goes back to the plethora of shows that we do surrounding politics, especially what you know, black ideas and things that pertain to blackness, and telling people do your own damn research though. Like even if everybody you know is screaming vote for this person, vote for this person, vote for this person. Have the wherewithal and the courage to do your own research and vote for who you feel has the best interest for you in your community. So many, because people, social engineering is so real and happens so often. Most people, like now we're talking about Biden, right? Mm-hmm. Black people, you want to know why most black people going to rock with Biden? And we all know why. Because he was the vice president of Obama. And they still, people are still howl for Obama. So that's leg up that Biden has. But it's also still the social conditioning because it's still the Obama effect. And nobody's really doing, I ain't going to say nobody, but a lot, too many people are not doing their homework. They're really not doing what they're supposed to do to make sure that they vote the person in that makes the best sense for them. So that's how these things work. Man, these, you know, like we always say, man, the field of psychology was created off of, you know, racism and things that they've been doing for, like oppressing black people and experimenting on black people. Now, a lot of these medical fields were created off of the torture and the terrorism of black people. So they know how we think. They really know how we think. Why? Because they engineered us from the time that we got here to now, and they're still engineering us. So they really understand how we tick. So it's not really surprising that these things happen. And I think it's kind of funny that they put it in the report, but it's still necessary to go into the report because for somebody like you who's looking for that, it exposes the gullibleness of a lot of black people in America.
Right. Because like you said, we know it happens. And we have trouble convincing other black people that it happens. I can't tell you how many times, just based off the don't shoot us shit. You know, we talked about that, made jokes about it. I told people, stop following that shit. It's stupid. The stuff they posting don't make sense. And now you find out it wasn't even ignorant black people posting it. It's a Russian, you know, it's a Russian job. You know, the Black Matters post. You know, like we have all these. So now here it is, an official government documentation that these posts are not pro-black groups. And I bet if we dug through a good chunk of the pro-black groups out there on pro-black pages, we'll find that a good chunk of them, I say the majority of them, are not actually run or created or originated by black people.
Right.
So to me, it's just kind of like a, to me, it's almost embarrassing. It's not like it's unexpected, but it's embarrassing. You know, it's like when you did something you ain't supposed to do, and you know eventually you're gonna get caught, but you keep doing it. And then when you do get caught, it's like you're not surprised you got caught, but it's still embarrassing. You know, like I feel embarrassed.
Especially, like, you know, there are a lot of pro-black, quote-unquote, pro-black pages out there who don't even have pictures.
Right.
There's, like, no pictures of actual person. It's just black this and black that. Man, I can't see you.
I don't trust no page, website, or anything like that that claim to be pro-black that don't have a picture of the people that run it. That's the very first thing I do when I call myself researching. Very first thing I do is go to your website and look to see who you are. One, I'm looking to see that you're black, but more importantly, I'm looking to see that you're a real fucking person.
I mean, can I see your face? If I can't see your face, hey. Yeah.
And if I'm really interested, once I pass that check, I'm going to call the number, and I'm going to have a conversation with you or whoever you got to pick up the phone. I got questions. But,
yeah.
Excuse me. I mean, I don't, thank you. It was just, and you know, you dig into the Mueller report, there's just so much here. Excuse me. That's the stuff that I felt like was significant to us as black people that I've come across thus far. I know there's a lot more in here, but I mean, Jesus, this stuff, and I had to scroll back, this stuff is only in page This is in like the first 40 pages of the report. You see all of this shit. The first 40 pages. So it's not even like it's that deep down into the report.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our shit is always on Front Street. So we got to do better. But it just, you know, comes to folk like us who have the means to get the information out. Continue doing what we're doing, even through frustration, keep getting information out. Make sure people are empowered, though, because, you know, it's on Front. Everybody know about this. It's on Front Street. But, you know, the Mueller report, just, you know, more icing on the cake that they manipulated a good number of black people who call themselves pro-black. And one of the things about being pro-black, though, is about independent research, I thought, because that's one of the ways you become pro-black, or you become awake, awakened to realize how important pro-blackness is doing your independent research and getting information from all sides. Like Dr. John Henry Clark tell you, don't just study black history, study white history, green history, gray history, and the history you can get your hands on. But if we're just going for the pro-black spaces or spaces that look pro-black, and just going with that and saying, hey, this got to be right. Oh, yeah, they saying fuck Hillary. Like, come on, man. We got to do better than that. So. Hey, man, we going hard in these political times. Best believe that. These elections coming up, we going hard. So y'all better get y'all mind right, because we talk about these elections. We break down these candidates even further, and we making shit happen.
And look, I'm being clear, because I didn't try to have this conversation with people. It's not like I'm supporting Hillary. I'm not defending the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Foundation. This don't have nothing to do with none of that. That's a whole separate discussion. But if the only real source of information for your beef with Hillary Clinton is social media posts, then you're ill-informed, period. It doesn't even matter if you're right or wrong at that point. You're ill-informed. You haven't done the research to even say that you legitimately understand what your beef is. You're not going to find the facts on social media. You're just not going. We need to understand, like, that's not what social media is designed for. It's not designed to provide you with in-depth understanding of what's going on in the world around you. That is not what social media is here for. Like, social media has not replaced news organizations, real journalists, books, studying reports, research. It hasn't replaced any of those fundamental tenets of being an informed individual. You can't just scroll your feed, your timeline, your feed, your Twitter chest, whatever, your Instagram poppy. You can't just scroll your shit and think that you up to date on what's going on because you scroll social media. Like, so I feel like we really gotta we don't even really understand what social media was created to do. It was created to connect people.
Yeah.
It wasn't created to inform people. Just
that's
to connect
them. Thank you, sir. Well, a lot of people get mad because their quote unquote information doesn't get the attention that they want to, that it wanted to get. Some people have found how to use it for information and to leverage that into money, but for the most part, like you're saying, it's a social connection tool. And people who haven't found out how to use it, they get mad when people don't connect to their information. But like you say, go back to just people just connecting and having fun.
Yeah. Fun is the key word there. It makes social interaction safe and entertaining. Because without Facebook, we tended to be, you know, you hung out with your boys because that was fun and you knew who they were. Meeting new people is risky. Social media makes it less risky. So it's fun and it's entertaining and it's safe. But it is not created to inform you. And so, you know, like, yeah, we could go, you know, I could literally rant about this all day long, but you know, like if you have time, even if you don't have time, The Mueller report is free. It's 448 pages. It's free. And Audible actually offers a free audiobook of the Mueller report. So if you don't want to read all 448 pages, it's 19 hours of listening. And obviously, you don't have to do that all at once, but it's free. Why not digest it if it's free?
Right. It's my right. It's motherfucking my right. If you don't say we ain't warned you. Because we so did. You heard me. You better hear me. All right, man. So the last topic we want to get into, this black and missing. And I don't want to say it like that because that's the name of a whole foundation. But last time we talked, there were 64,000 black women missing. Remember we did that show?
Yep.
And we was like, how the fuck? See, let me say this first. Fuck it. How the hell 64,000 black women go missing and nobody's talking about it? Right? It's not a big deal. It's not. I'm not even talking about, when I say nobody's talking about, I'm not even talking about mainstream media or white media. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about black media. The main black sources, or the most popular black sources, the black sources period, should be talking about the number of black people missing. So that was like, what, 2016, 2017 when we did that show?
Something like that.
So it's 2019 now, and they say there are now 75,000 and counting black women missing in the United States. Now, there are a lot of black people, period, missing. So I'm looking at this is a document provided by the FBI. 2018 NCIC missing persons, unidentified persons statistics, and NCIC is the National Crime Information Center. So it was the NCIC, not the FBI, but I went to the FBI site to get this. So, and it's basically statistics of people who were missing in 2018. And it got the categories, it got different categories, it got sex, race, you know, people under 21, over 21, but under 18, under 21, and all ages. So, there's just a bunch of people missing, period. Now, of course, there are more white people in the United States, so there's more, by number, more white people missing. But under 18, as far as race, black people, under 18, there's 155,966, 18 plus, there's 51,428. If we're talking females, there's, they don't break it down by the race and female category for that. So under 21 for black, under 21 there's 166,991. Over 21 is 40,403. And then for race, as far as all ages, there's 207,394 black people missing. So I looked at something else, where is it? And it was breaking down statistics. And they're still not necessarily breaking them down by race in this, but race and sex like I wanted to. But they're saying there's, you know, once again, white people outnumber everybody, so it's more missing white people. But according to this Black America Web article, some of the other things that I was reading today and yesterday, over 75,000 black women who are missing. And like I was saying earlier, the thing is not to say that nobody else is missing in other groups. If you think that, that's your goddamn fault. That ain't my problem. But the thing is, with all these outlets that we have, we're not talking about things like this enough. Now, granted, there are a whole bunch of issues to talk about, but for the number of black people that go missing in the United States on the regular, because every time I'm on social media, I see a post about somebody's missing. So the number of people that's missing is astronomical, and we need to start talking about it more, start being more aggressive and assertive in making sure that we pay attention to this and have preventative methods in place to make sure that no more people go missing. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot, dog.
Yeah, it is. It is. 100 and... You said 100 and... How much you say?
Well...
It's 75.
For all ages. For all... Oh, well, 75,000 black women missing. It says
right.
Nearly 75,000 black... Just specifically black women missing. Of all ages. Well, women and black women and girls in the United States. And then I just read these once again. For all ages... For black people in the United States, it's 207,394. And this 2018 stat. For under 21, so under 21 is 166,991. Over 21 is 40,403, 21 plus. Under 18, there's 155,966. Over 18 plus is 51,428.
Yeah, it is. And we know there's a lot of missing black kids because we know nobody cares to find missing black people. But we got, you know, like as a community, that goes back to what we keep saying. We got to do more. We got to do better about staying united, about looking out for each other. We got to do better about making sure that we hold each other accountable in the good ways and the bad ways. You know, if you're a black person in America, you shouldn't be nowhere without people knowing, at least somebody knowing where you are. You know?
That's, well, I want to say that's where we are, but that's where we've always been, though.
Right.
History. Black people have never been safe. Black people have always gone missing. We're just not counting these shits. And now we have organizations in place to give a damn about this.
And it ain't even like that's just a woman thing. Because I know a lot of people be like, you know, I tell my daughter, if you're going somewhere, no, I'll tell your son too. Like, that's men and women. If you're a black person in America, you don't have that sort of luxury to just be able to get up and go somewhere without telling people where you're going.
Yeah.
You need to have a circle of friends, family, somebody, where you let them know where you're at, and if you're capable enough and you on time enough, this second part might be a bit of a stretch for some people because they ain't got no concept of time. But you probably should also think about letting people know how long you're going to be there.
Yeah, specific, you ain't got to tell the whole world, but specific people, trust your emergency contacts and stuff. People should know where you at.
Right. Like, you should tell, you know, and I know it sounds tedious, but, hey, man, I'm finna run to the food line right up the street. You know, I should be back, you know, I should be back at the crib or whatever, you know, in 30 minutes. That way, if some shit happened, somebody can tell whoever needs to be told. He told me at 10:01 that he was going to be going up the street to the food line for 30 minutes. Now, I don't know when he got there. I don't know if he got there. I don't know what he bought. I don't know how long he stayed. But I know that's what he said.
Right.
So at least, you know, then people have a place to start looking. Now, I say, you kind of got to be responsible with time because I know there are a lot of people out there that'll be like, I'm going to the store for 30 minutes, and 30 minutes regularly turns into 3-4 hours for them. You know, you kind of got to finagle that how you finagle it. But I don't feel like anybody in America, any black person in America, has the luxury of saying, I'm my own person, I'm a grown-ass adult, and I can just go do what I want when I want without telling people. Okay, and when your ass come up missing, remember, you ain't tell nobody. So don't nobody know you missing.
But also, like, for parents, these devices that you buy your kids, these phones, turn the tracking on the things.
Yeah.
You bought it for your kids, track them shits. But it's like, we're not telling people you have to check in on people about your every move, but people should have an idea of what you got going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, It depends on who I'm around. Like, even I could be with my homeboys. Let's say me and the homeboys go on a vacation. We go to New Orleans or you know, L.A. or something for a vacation or whatever. And a couple of us about to run up to the store, or a couple of us about to go to another location. You know, so say three of us going to one location, three of us going to the other. Hey, we about to go over here. Y'all go over there. In 2 hours, we meet back here. And we grown men who can fight. So I mean, we do have to do those things, but this I hate that it's especially for women, because let's just be real. And I learned this on the section of domestic violence prevention. I'm gonna ask you this, Pat. When is the last time? And I'm gonna ask two questions, just to, you know, from a male's perspective. When's the last time when you, before stepping out your house, you thought about preparations that could prevent you from being raped?
Oh no, I don't. I mean, I get where you're coming from with that. I, as a man, I don't concern myself with potentially being raped.
Right, right. And so, you know, one thing that women do, but another thing is we don't think about protecting ourselves from being abducted either.
No, I do that.
Okay, well, you do. I don't. I ain't gonna lie. No. I don't.
And here's why. I know that I'm in the rarity for that. But the reason why I do is because of the type of information I consume and because of the way I was raised. But I know that most men don't concern themselves with being raped, don't concern themselves with being abducted, and, you know, for the most part, don't even concern themselves with being in a physical altercation with somebody else.
Right, because our minds is, you know, especially a lot of us black dudes, and like said, and the entertainer said, I wish a nigga would.
But those are regular concerns that women have.
Right, and so it's more bearing that down. Because, you know, like when we have conversations about taking thrills in life, For black people, just getting back home safe is a thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah, just waking up, going to bed and waking up safe is a thrill for a lot of people. But it's like, it's unfair that our women have to have these burdens that, damn, I hope don't nobody try to snatch me up today. Like that's that bullshit. And it's something, I'm going to keep reiterating, we have to have at the forefront of our minds. To make sure that we're doing things to keep people in our community safe, because once again, it's not just black women being taken, but one of the reasons why we have to talk about it in this manner, as far as black women missing, is because when black women go missing, don't nobody give a shit. Majority of people don't give. Like when the last time we heard from them women organizations who's supposed to be for all women?
Like when black people go missing, don't nobody give a shit. Black women are in a doubly compromised position because, you know, they walking around with whole pussies on them.
Yeah.
And we know that there's a lot of assholes out here that'll do anything they can to get at some pussy, including knocking a woman over her head, and, you know, how to feel powerful. You know, which would include boxing a woman up, even if it ain't about her pussy. It's just about being able to dominate another human being.
Right, right.
You know, women are in those compromised situations. A man is naturally looked at as more of a physical threat. So you're going to think twice before you run up on a dude. Ain't no dude, it ain't too many dudes in the world that's really checking for a woman like that. Especially, one thing if the woman is known to be some sort of mixed martial arts star or some sort of boxing champion, like, you might think twice before you run up on Clarissa Shields. But even to that is telling, because I'm almost positive there's some dumbass dude out there that think that they can still take her down.
But let's just, I mean, and not to take anything away from Clarissa, because she got hands, but there are some dudes that really believe that they can take her down. And there are some dudes that can take her down.
Oh, but yeah, most definitely.
There are a lot of dudes who look at her and be like, man, I beat her ass and take that down. And it's a challenge to them, like you said, that power and control aspect. Because it's a power, it's a, it's a, it's a challenge. They want to feel that power. They want to feel that control. And being able to dominate a woman like Clarissa Shields will give them that.
Right. But let's also be realistic. I say about 60 to 70%, maybe even as far high as 80% of the dudes out here that's out of shape and ain't threw a punch in the last 10 years of their life. Clarissa Shields is whooping your ass.
Yeah.
Damn what you think you can do, because, you know, I had this conversation with my body every day at the track where I feel like I can still run, you know, a 11 or a 10-second 100-meter dash. At my age, the shit ain't happening. But mentally, I think I could do it. You know, hey, if you approach Clarissa Shields and you at the prime of your physical being, which for most dudes is in their early 20s, late 20s.
You going to win. You got a chance.
You got a chance. The chances are you still going to get your ass whooped. Now, if you 30 plus, 40 plus, especially if you 40 or 50 plus,
you're going to get your ass whooped.
Hang that up, bro. Chalk that up.
And like, people have to respect her hands the same way you respect these dudes' hands. Even though she's a woman, but because she's a woman, there's a lot of people who believe that,
right,
that she's just an easy run up on like that. But that's that condition.
Right, and that's what I was getting at. I didn't, you know, not to get off on a tangent, but that's what I was getting at. There are dudes out there that, regardless of the status of the woman, and that illustrates, you know, the types of things we have to deal with. Because, you know, I have come across a lot of articles, and I've heard for years about women that, you know, are terrified to go on first dates with dudes because they worry that the dude is going to abduct them or do some crazy shit on the first date. Now, you know, on one hand, do I think a lot of that is social conditioning or needlessly scaring people because the vast majority of y'all aren't going to be abducted on the first date? Yes, I do think that there is a little bit of an exaggerated feature to that. But on the other hand, women are more likely to get abducted on the first date than men. So, you know, however minute the chance might be that it'll happen, it still has happened before. And so, you know, I get all of those things, and we definitely, and that's not even just on us as men. We, as a community, we have to do a better job. Definitely men got to step up. But as a community, we have to do a better job of looking out for each other and looking out for our vulnerable and our less fortunate, looking out for our weaker, and that includes women and children, unfortunately. That also includes looking out for the men that are incapacitated. Now, sadly, if you're listening to this and you 6'6", 250 pounds of solid muscle, I'm going to be like, yeah, we need to check in on you from time to time, but I don't know that we should have to look out for you like that. But, you know, it kind of is what it is on that end. You taking care of yourself. I'm sorry to tell you, big boy, if you come up missing, ain't nobody checking for you like that.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, look for you because you're my true brother, but.
Well, that goes back to why we're doing this segment. We have to value each other. We have to value each other to the point to where if one missing, shit, we all missing.
Right.
So that mindset, you know, like we got to make sure this people say, I don't care how big you are. You can't take on the fucking system by yourself.
No, you can't. And I don't care how big you are, we got to get over this mind state that one black dude could beat up four or five white dudes. All right, you keep thinking that.
Yeah. I mean.
Because I don't wish. You know what? Now that you say that, though, I'm kind of out of that I wish a person would phase. I don't want nobody to try me. And I don't wish they would. I wish they would leave me the hell alone, but like I'm kind of out of that phase where I'm trying to prove that I'm the baddest motherfucker on the block. Nah, man, I wish you would not. Don't mess with me.
I mean, I'm to the point now where shit, man, look, I ain't trying to fight nobody. I will if I have to, but at the same time, if I can end this thing real quick without breaking a sweat or causing too much, losing too much energy, I will too. But I ain't trying to fight nobody, man. I be chilling, man. You be messing up my vibe trying to do all that crazy stuff. But, you know, but I mean, still having those mindsets, so that doesn't mean that I can't be abducted. That doesn't, because when we think about abduction, we have to stop, we have to not box ourselves into only some of you run up on somebody and physically just take them like that. You just overpower them. There's many different ways. Like, you can be dating somebody for a while or go out to eat with somebody, go to somebody's house, and they put something in your food, and bam, you out, you done, you gone. So, I mean, take as much precaution as possible. We have to pay attention to what's going on. Like, but we also have to go past just bringing awareness to it and taking action steps. So Black and Missing Foundation, man, y'all check them out. Make sure y'all check out the Black and Missing Foundation. Let me find their website so I make sure I give the correct website. I just had that. But check out the Black and Missing Inc.com. Yeah, so Black and Missing Inc.com, BlackandMissingInc.com. I'll check them out. Support this donation and other support this organization and other organizations like it. So that way we can not just talk about it, but we can prevent it and be able to find those people who are missing. Because it's our duty. But we want to make sure that we, A, bring more attention to nearly 75,000 or 75,000 plus Black women are missing in the United States. And it's not a big deal to a lot of media outlets, especially Black media outlets. I'm not expecting white media outlets to do this. I'm way off that soapbox where I'm mad at white outlets for not doing this and that. They're not supposed to. It's on us. So look at this. Pay attention to the number of Black women that are continue, the numbers that are continue to rise of Black women that are missing, but also take a look at Black people as a whole, number of Black people as a whole that is missing here in the United States. And they're abroad as well. Globally, Black people go missing all the time. Then a lot of times they show up with missing organs, if they show up. So let's pay attention to that stuff there, man. Yeah. And those are pretty much the three topics that we want to cover. Hey, real quick, Pat, what you think about the Cuba Gooding Jr. situation? Real quick.
Stop fucking with them white girls.
I got to go back and watch the videos. I saw one video where he was rubbing on somebody's thigh.
I mean, from what I saw, I didn't see where, you know, it looked like everybody was agreeable. Just from I only saw a little clip. But, I mean, we tell dudes, you know, you said in your sports show all the time when these Black athletes get fucked up behind these white girls, man, stop fucking with Becky. She don't like you like that.
Somebody like Cuba, you can't tell him that.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's
no.
Not going to listen. Yeah. Now, we also want to make this clear. Majority of Black men, period, whether they're celebrities or not, in America, date and marry Black women.
Right.
But for the 15%, 10-15% who don't, hey, man, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Now, that doesn't mean that we would leave you all out. Especially if you're falsely accused by some white one. But if you out there doing mess with these white girls and you fucking up messing with these white girls, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, that's kind of how I'm in with Cuba. You know, Cuba gonna do what Cuba do, but he's a nice cautionary tale for the kids.
There once was a man named Cuba. Thought he could fill on white girls. He found out he was out here fucking up. She told on him and fucked up his world.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, man. So, yeah, that's our show. You know, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train podcast series right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure we keep busting y'all in the head with these good shows. Make sure y'all support us. Go to the website. Support us on whichever I let you listen to podcasts on. Catch us on All On. We on All On. Onto my All On, we on All On. You can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. support Lessons from the Screen at patreon.com/LFTS. Email us, message us on our social media platforms, Instagram, Freedom Train Net, Instagram, Freedom Train Network, Twitter, Freedom Train Net, Freedom Train Network on Facebook, and look for the Freedom Train Network on any podcast platform that you use. Because we out here, we doing our thing, and we doing our best to grow our show. We 5 years deep in the game, so we've been doing our thing, man, and we're going to continue to do what we do, and we love y'all and appreciate y'all's support. Part and shot, Pat.
Power to the people.
Power to the mother loving people. Hey, man, two fingers in the air like a plug, because y'all know we just do. We out of here. Peace.